It's 4:06, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Barrett. Coming up, a look at calls to change the way Wisconsin divides up election districts and elect state legislators.
First, as we hear fears of the outbreaks of diseases like malaria and dysentery in the aftermath of the typhoon in the Philippines, a recent report finds that those and other widespread and lethal diseases are not getting a lot of attention when it comes to developing medications.
We've got Dr. Natalie Strub-Wargaft with us now. She's medical director of the Drugs for Neglected Diseases Initiative, co-author of the report we're talking about. Natalie, thanks for joining us today.
Hello, thank you.
So first of all, what are some of the neglected diseases you're talking about in your report?
Yeah, well, you know, generally these neglected diseases are diseases of the very poor that live in very poor countries, developing countries. They are very abandoned, they're voiceless. No one really knows about them. So one of these diseases that people would know about is the sleeping sickness caused by the tsetse fly. This is a fatal disease. Patients will die without proper treatment. And most of these patients who live very far from the places where they could get some injectable treatment do not get the way, you know, not get there on time to get treatment, so could die out of it.
How big an impact in total do these diseases have?
Well, if we look at the burden of disease, which is in fact looking at the weight of morbidity or mortality caused by these diseases, they represent as much as 10.5% of the overall disease of all the world, of all conditions, if you wish.
So about how many people, roughly, are we talking about?
We're talking about hundreds of millions of patients.
Hundreds of millions. And so the neglected diseases concept relates to drug production for these diseases. How many of the new drugs that come out each year target the diseases you're talking about?
Yeah, well, that's the point of the report. In fact, we looked at, you know, the development of drugs during the past 10 years. And what we found is that despite the fact that 10.5% of these patients suffer, only 4% of new drugs, including vaccines, are developed for these patients. So it is totally unbalanced. There's a big gap here. And this is because these patients do not represent, a profitable market. They will not be able to pay. So, in fact, for those who are developing drugs to get some benefit, there is no financial return on the investment.
And you mentioned sleeping sickness. Before we get to solutions, can you name a few of the other major diseases that are neglected and not seeing this drug manufacturing?
Yeah, well, there is the Kala-Azar, visceral leishmaniasis. There are some Hellman's infections, worm infections. There's Buruli ulcer, which is a very annoying and cutaneous disease. There is mycetoma. There is also Chagas disease. There are, in fact, 49 of these diseases if you look at the whole list. WHO has selected 17 out of them, but in fact, we looked and there are many more.
So the big question, why, if these diseases are killing people in the hundreds of millions, don't we see more research and development of drugs and vaccines?
Well, that's the point. I think, you know, there is no real benefit for any pharmaceutical or biotech company to develop a drug that cannot be bought with some kind of benefit. So that's where the main gap lies, and this is why a few of organizations like the NDI have been created in the past decade to try and find other ways of developing drugs or vaccines for these patients by making partnerships, by sharing information, finding new ways of doing things.
So what kind of efforts are out there? Expand on that a little. Who, if not independent research by drug companies, who takes the lead here?
Well, if you take the NDI, we look into libraries that we have, chemical libraries of pharmaceutical companies. For instance, we look at drugs that they are not interested in anymore. And we try and see if these drugs would have some potential for the diseases that we are interested in. And then we find the right people to develop them, to test them in the laboratory. So we've set up some external partnerships to get all the people together to develop them. And then we go in the countries, and with the countries, we develop them and we test them in patients.
So that's interesting. There might be drugs on the shelf already at some pharmaceutical companies, maybe not completely researched yet, but we're not starting from square one.
Oh, totally. I mean, we have a treatment that is now tested in sleeping sickness in patients, and that was a drug at that time that was not developed because for reasons we don't know about, but nothing wrong with the drug, but it didn't seem to have some potential for that company, so it was just abandoned. There are a few of these, and we are very, good, and others too, in trying to find them and making something good out of them. But you can also look at drugs which exist for a disease A and try and see if it would work for disease B, for example.
So it seems like part two of this, even if you get the drug out there and in place, is distribution, getting it to the people who need it. As you mentioned, maybe in a remote area without a lot of money and without a lot of medical infrastructure.
Absolutely. And this is why, when we design a plan for treatment, the first thing we do is to work with the partners and the treating physicians in the countries and those who will be in charge of treating patients to see what are the minimum criteria for them, to be able to deploy. And one of them is the cost and the price of the treatment. So this is something we're very vigilant about. And also the practical things as having an oral treatment, because if you have an injectable infusion that no one can access to and be treated with, there's no point.
Are we seeing improvement over time? Is the world getting better, at least, at producing these drugs?
I think we should say the world is getting better, but it's really not on track yet.
Okay. I wanted to ask you about a related issue. We saw that today is something called World Toilet Day, started by the United Nations. Seems strange and puzzling at first, but it's this international effort to provide better sanitation in a lot of parts of the world. Is sanitation, is something like that a part of the answer to the diseases we're talking about, along with the drugs, the medications, the vaccines?
Well, of course, this is a very, it seems minimal to us, but to avoid, look at cholera, look at all these diseases that are transmitted by poor sanitation and by infections. And there are other like schistosomiasis or other diseases which are not related to just directly sanitation, but indirectly, certainly, yes. So it's, of course, all of these efforts are needed, and there was a Tropical Medicine Congress past week in Washington, and all these issues were well discussed.
So to wrap up, a lot of the drug research happens, as you mentioned, here in the United States, in Canada, in Europe, and a lot of the diseases you're talking about don't. Is it a hard sell to get people to take these issues seriously when they seem so remote?
Yes, I would say it is. We have funding that is split between private and public, but we don't get all governments on board with this, even if we have a number of European countries. We still don't have money from the U.S. government. Of course, we have big foundations like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation that supports, and, of course, our founder, MSF, that is supporting very much. But it's always a struggle to get money. And there's not, we need money for all these diseases. So it is a big, big struggle.
Natalie, thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Natalie Strub-Wargaft, Medical Director of the Drugs for Neglected Diseases Initiative.